Lord God, write these words, engrave them on our hearts. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. In front of our nation's capital, you'll find a statue of two figures. These figures are draped in classical robes. They stand atop a giant marble base. Two women. One stands there with a stylus and a tablet, writing a message etched in the stone. The other covers her face and leans on the shoulder of the first, lost in tears and mourning. The first woman represents history, the record of everything that has been done. The second represents grief, the realization of all that has been lost. The monument on which these statues stand is known as the Peace Monument. It honors the men who served and died in the Union Navy during the U.S. Civil War. Other statues of symbolic victory and symbolic peace stand at a lower level on this monument. But the monument reminds us that such victory and peace are always tinged with grief. They come at the cost of something precious, something we cannot get back, something we dare not forget. And so we etch in stone the message that stands on that stylus. They died that their country might live. Today we hear Job commission a monument. He says, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. Commemorate this," he says. "Don't let it be forgotten. Make sure these words will be read and pondered by generations to come." What might we expect Job's words to be? He certainly had plenty of sadness and loss to speak of. He'd been known as the greatest man of all the men in the East at one time. Hugely wealthy. A loving wife. 10 wonderful children. A leading citizen. An example of piety and morality for all to look up to. But then in a single day, he lost it all. Enemies attacked and carried off almost all of his possessions. A freak disaster claimed the rest. All 10 of his children were crushed to death as a windstorm collapsed the house of his eldest. He was struck with a terrible, disfiguring rash of boils and sores. Even his wife could hardly stand to look at him. He sat in the dust with all his loss as 3 friends sat down with him and insisted that he must have done something to deserve all of this from God. He'd lost everything. His wealth, his family, his health, his good name. We wouldn't be surprised in the least if a figure of grief sat atop Job's monument, or if the message on his history's tablet was a mournful, bitter message. But that's not the kind of word that Job once recorded. Those are not the words he once engraved in rock forever. What are they? "I know that my Redeemer lives." not a message of grief or loss, but a message of hope. A message that quiets grief's tears and lifts her eyes to see light shining in the darkness, a bright future despite the gloom of the present. See, a redeemer. A redeemer is someone who makes things right when they are wrong, who restores things to the way they were supposed to be. In the Old Testament, among the Israelites, God established the office of redeemer, kinsman redeemer, to be filled by the nearest male relative. If someone was forced because of debt to sell the property, the land that God had given as an inheritance in the promised land of his people, then the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, was called to buy the land back and restore his relative's place among the people of God. If a relative was forced by debt to sell themselves into slavery until their debt was repaid, the kinsman redeemer was called to buy their freedom and restore to them the full life that they once had. If a man died and left a widow with no children, then the kinsman redeemer, if he was able and unmarried, was called to marry the widow of the dead man, and the first male child born to their marital union would carry on the family name of the man who had died. Finally, a redeemer was permitted by God, if a relative was wrongfully killed, to pursue and demand satisfaction by avenging his death on the murderer. The redeemer, his job was to set right the wrongs, to restore what was lost to the best of his ability. And Job's hope, in the middle of all his loss and darkness, rested on the fact that he had a redeemer. This was someone who had seen all the suffering and pain he was going through that had come on him and would not rest until it was made right. His redeemer is not dead, he's living. And in the end, Job says, he will stand upon the earth. When all the dust settles, his redeemer will be the one still standing. He will be the one who is victorious. He will bring his redemption, his restoration, his vengeance to completion. And then finally, Job would have peace and rest. And in the meantime, Job takes confidence and courage and finds hope, even as he suffers through the deepest grief of his life. Because his redeemer lives. Not even this shadow is so dark that it cannot be illuminated. There is no sadness so deep that it cannot be turned to joy. Wouldn't you like a redeemer? More likely than not, you, like I, are a long way off from Job. And yet, there isn't a single one of us here that hasn't felt the ache of loss. We live in a broken world with uncertainty, fear, and death swirling around us. We've been the victims of forces outside our control. We've lived among sinful people, and we've been the victims of sin committed against us. Even those close to us have spoken words that cut like a knife. Even those we've entrusted our hearts to have not done the same. Do you long for restoration? Do you long for all the wrongs to be made right? Do you long for your heart and your life to be made whole again? I do. I long to see a Redeemer who will make the world the way it's supposed to be. But there's another part of me, a part that's self-aware and honest, that hesitates at the thought. Because I know that it's not just the people around me who have made a mess of this world. I am not only the sinned against, I'm also the sinner. I've hurt those close to me with words, my wife, my friends, my family. I've done things out of love for no one but myself. Inside my heart, if nowhere else, reside thoughts and desires that prove that I am far from the way that I am supposed to be. If a Redeemer comes and finds me at the center as the cause of so much brokenness, what will it look like for him to make things right? When I am the one with blood on my hands, will his vengeance fall on me? But God answered that question already. He answered that question on Good Friday, on the day that our Redeemer died. On a cross, the sinless Son of God redeemed you and me. He paid the price to set us free, to give us an inheritance. He crushed the head of Satan, the one who led us to our death, and he avenged his murdered brothers and sisters. He pledged his love to his people, to his church, and gave himself up for her to make her holy, the perfect bridegroom and husband. On the cross, the Redeemer displayed for all to see that he had come to redeem us not only from the darkness and the brokenness of the world and the sinfulness of others, but to redeem us from our guilt, our shame, our sin. He did it by taking all of it on himself to be killed and buried in the grave that we deserved. But if Jesus gave up his life to redeem us, if that was the cost of our restoration, then who is left to make things right? Who will restore us if our Redeemer has died? A dead Redeemer can do nothing for us. That's the glory of Easter. From the distance of centuries, Job saw him standing victorious on the field of battle. Today we see him too. I know that my Redeemer lives. 3 days after he had paid the price of our redemption from sin and death, angels appeared to announce the news. He is not here. He is risen. He is alive after death, in spite of death, and he shall never die again. He has taken up all authority and power to save his people. His resurrection is the guarantee that no matter what hole there is in your heart, he will fill it. No matter what guilt burdens your soul, he has forgiven it. No matter what wrong you have had to endure, he will make everything right. Even more, it's a guarantee that he has made you right. Jesus' resurrection is proof that every one of your sins is paid for, that not a single one remains to bring the wrath of God down upon you. You are set free from them and restored to the God who loved you before he created the world, just the way it was always supposed to be. This means that your place is with him forever. And that means that the eternity that awaits you is not death, but life. Job saw this too. He said, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. See, there's one certain thing about our life in this broken world, and that is that it ends in death. And yet Job declares that on the other side of death, after our skin has been destroyed, we will stand in our own flesh and see God with our own eyes. We will live even though we die. And the life we live will be in God's presence and perfection. He will make all things new, a new creation with no sin and no effects of sin, everything the way it's supposed to be, and we will be part of it, glorified with Jesus' glory. It's a future almost too wonderful to believe, but it's fully guaranteed. How? My Redeemer lives. When Jesus ripped open the grave, he ripped open yours too. Like Paul said, Christ is the first fruits of the harvest, but there are more fruits to come. All who belong to him in faith will rise like him to share in his eternal life. Just think about the way that knowledge changed the way that Job processed his grief. Think about the way it changes how you see yours. Job's world had crumbled around him, but his Redeemer would give him one better than the one he started with. He had lost this worldly riches, but his Redeemer guaranteed to him eternal treasure. His body was disintegrating from disease, but he would receive a glorified and perfect immortal body. His children had been taken from him, but God would restore them to him alive forever. Our grief is real. Our suffering is real. There's no shame in our tears. But in the midst of them, there is hope and there is confidence. The grief will pass. Our tears will be dried. We await a peace and victory untainted by sadness and loss because our Redeemer lives. How my heart yearns within me. Doesn't yours? Most of us won't get anything nearly as elaborate as the Peace Monument in Washington, D.C. No classically dressed statues on giant marble bases. Our monuments will be smaller, simpler. A marker on our graves. The day they put us in the earth will no doubt be a day of sadness and loss for those who love us and will miss us. But it will also be a day of hope. Hope that looks forward to a guaranteed future in which our graves are empty and our eyes see our God. So, what will be the message that adorns your monument? How about the truth that guarantees your hope? I know that my Redeemer lives. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.